Well, last week we finished our series called Authentic Mission, if you didn't get to hear that one, it is all online. We have a new website. How many of you know we have a new website? 1, 2, 3, 4. How many have gone on the new website? How many of you like the new website? The same three people every time. Which should tell you that if you haven't gone on the website, I'm just encouraging you to do that. It's sort of up to date now, and it's got moving pictures and all kinds of things now. And Bobby kind of put it all together. We pay a little bit of money each month, but I think it really has given us the potential to increase our communication to the church and really let you guys know what's going on. So it's the same website address, www.crvineyard.ca, but it's a brand new site, all kinds of great things going on there. So just let you know about that. But last week we did finish our series, and so a lot of those are now up on that new website, and you can listen to them if you miss them. Okay, but as I pondered after that series, what do you want us to move into now, Lord? Because I really am cognizant of this fact that I don't want us just to, done that, let's move on to the next thing. Now, I really want mission to become a part of who we are and what we're doing. So we don't just listen to one series and move to the next series and then move to the next one and never apply any of those things to our life. But as I pondered that, I really, really believe that God directed me to the message that I'm going to give you this morning. And he strongly, I felt like, said, I want you to go back to this, to your mission statement and your vision as a church. And how many of you know what our vision as a church is? Well, if you'd go to the website once in a while, you might know. Okay, well, the vision in a very short sort of phrase is to know and to make known the unsurpassable love of Christ. And that really means we need to know it deep in our own spirits in order to give it away, in order to express it to people around us, in order to express it to one another, which is what I'm really going to talk about today. We need to have it in us. We need to have that sense of the love of God really percolating in us to know how much Jesus loves you, how accepted you are in the kingdom, and just that he's forgiven your sins. And he welcomes you into his open arms. And that out of that place there is a tremendous inheritance that he's poured into you. Amen? Hello? It's summer, I know. But I'm talking to you today. I'm just telling you that God has just a life in store for you if you'll receive it that will blow your mind. But you need to believe it and receive it. And that's the thing. We've got to know that love, and then out of that place we can begin to give it away, to love other people with that same love. But one of the primary things, folks, that we have to get is that love and our ability to love the world is so interconnected. It is dependent upon, church, our ability to love each other as the church. If we don't love each other in the church, okay, we can't really love out there the way we ought to. Amen? So we need to really get this thing in our hearts. And I also believe that God has impressed on me that his love is the key to everything that we do. Everything that we are going to try to accomplish as a church. And let me explain by giving a bit of an update on what's been happening in the church for the last little while. What we've been doing as a church and as leaders over the last while to complete our restructuring as a church, to fulfill our vision going forward, And I want to share with you a couple of, I think, good conversations that I had in the last couple of weeks have told me that maybe I'm not doing that great a job of communicating, or our church is not doing a great job of communicating all that is happening within our body and where we are in certain stages along our efforts. So I want to give you a short update, but I don't want this to be a business meeting. This is not about just telling you all the business of the church, but I don't want it to be that. But so if you're a visitor here, I just ask you to bear with us a little bit. It's going to feel like I'm talking about sort of all that we're doing as a church, but it will all tie together. And prayerfully, I think it will set us clearly at the center of God's heart and what he wants for his church. Now, at the very back, I was going to pick one up, but at the very back on that board back there, there is a kind of diagram that we have that's the vineyard structure. And I know it's hard to read, but we have other copies we can get you. And I believe now that whole restructure is on the website. Just so you know, okay? But that printout is the basic structure of our church and what we intend to do, the things we're going to do as a church, and who, if anyone at this point, is responsible for those areas, and so on. And I want to make it clear this morning that that restructure is basically done. If you think that we are still restructuring our church, that's not really the right way of looking at it. That's kind of an incorrect assumption. The restructure is complete, along with our vision, along with our values, along with our guiding principles, which are also on the board back there, right next to it. Kind of. So it tells you what we're going to be doing, and it tells you how, in a sense, the culture, in a sense, of how we want to walk this out, who we are. So it's not just that we're going to do this, but we're going to do this in a certain way. And those values really will help us to feel like this is who we are. This is what I want to be a part of. And so those two things are very important. They're on the board, and read through them if you haven't done that at this point. But they are there. And what is missing, though, where we are in this process is actually in the last phase, which is the recruiting of people. And I'm going to tell you that that's a tough thing. That is the part where we're praying for who is it, God, in this congregation that can fill all of those areas. And what if there isn't someone in this congregation that's currently ready to do that? And do we pray someone else in? Those kinds of things. So that's kind of where we're at in that whole restructure process, is really just filling in those blanks as God directs us and putting the right people in the right places. Now, I'm saying all of that because I also want to let you know that it's tough to recruit people. Hello? And I'm not going to just dump all the blame on you guys. I don't want to do that, and not everybody's even here. It's the summer, so lots of people are on vacation and so on. What I want to say to you, though, is really very simply this. I'm going to tell you that Nancy and I and other people, every week for the last month or more, or month and a half, have asked for people to take 1 week this summer to help with the Sunday school. And you know how many people we've had come and offer? Now, I'm not saying that to be, I don't think everyone is meant to do it. And we have approached people, and we are I approached someone today who agreed to help out. But it's really simple. There's like 8 weeks to fill. And yet, I'm going to tell you honestly, it feels like I'm trying to pull teeth sometimes. So think about that now in relation to, I'm going to ask somebody to be the superintendent of or the children's ministries for the Campbell River Vineyard, and I'm wanting them to do that because that's the calling on their life. There's no money for it at this point. It's volunteer. And if we, if, you know, if in our church, folks, I can't get people to do 1 week, how am I going to get them to do, plan the whole thing? And I'm not, this isn't about beating anybody. I'm just saying, recruiting is difficult, and that's where we're at in this restructure. And that's where it's not always simple, because there's oftentimes even maybe some people who really would want to do it, and we will help them to do it, we'll get them to do it, but they may not be the right person. So there is that whole part where we have to match gifting and calling to the various areas of ministry. And a lot of that is we have to trust God that he'll bring the right people. But that's where it's at right now. And if you look at that board, or if you go on our website, because there's also things coming up on our website that Bobby's put on there that talks about all the areas of need within our church where you can help serve. And so come talk to us, and we will be approaching people within our church. But we've also had a rough go of it in the last while. Norm and Jane, who are part of our leadership, have for the last 2 months, because of her parents, have just been gone. And they're not around. And then now Nancy's mom is very sick, and we've been back and forth to Seattle a couple of times. And so really, I would also say this. This is the summer. Hello? And if you know the summer, you know, because you guys are all looking at me like, what is he talking about today? But this summer thing, too, I mean, it's really hard to get anything really started in the summer. So we're really going to be pushing during the summer to try and fill those places and establish those things that we've said we're going to do and recruit people and get them and pray those people in for the September. So I'm also giving you guys the summer off, other than the ones we're going to help with Sunday school. All those people that are writing down that 1 week that they can help me out with right now. Okay? But I also want to talk a little bit about all the great things that, in fact, have been happening all around this church. For instance, Norm has a team that he works with, that he's doing a lot of the maintenance and a lot of the things that are happening in this church for keeping the grounds up and so on, and it's an ongoing project. But how many of you noticed that we have a new kitchen? That just happened this year. Hello? You know, he put a ton of work into that, and he got a lot of people to help out and paint. And I just want to say this, if you didn't help paint, someone else did, and that's a good thing. But we got all of that, and it looks great. How many of you like how the grounds are looking out there? Yeah, well, that's right there. Put your hand up there. Marnie is doing all of that. And yes, we're paying Marnie a little bit of money because this is what she does for a living. But she's also coming in and doing tons of this work on her own. A lot of the plants have been donated. She'll go around and she does work all throughout our community in landscaping. And if people want plants to go, she says, I have just the right place for this plant. And she brings it down to the vineyard here and puts it in our garden. So that's pretty cool, eh? It's looking good out there. I want to let you know also that we're in the process of fencing an area of the grounds here for the Sunday school kids to play in. And what's happened is actually the people next door, we were going to get Ben to do that. And that's what Ben does for a living. He's a fencer and so on. We were going to get him to do it. And he's still going to do some fencing that I wanted to do over here. But the fence at the back, and I think even over here, the guy next door, he's now leased his whole place to a guy that's going to be doing the dam project. And the guy came to see me that does this dam, and he's laying out everything that they're going to be doing over here because he wants to be a good neighbor. And he says, we want to build you a fence for free. So this whole section over here that we had planned to fence in for our Sunday school kids, they're going to pay for it and put it in. Isn't that cool? So that's pretty cool stuff that's happening. God just is sort of doing all of this thing. But that leads me to another thing, is that we also, through this process of restructuring, identified a need, and I think it was a basic, everyone knew it, for a youth leader. And in the process of that, over the last year, we did what? We went through the process of figuring out what that youth leader would do and all the things that we needed him to do. And then actually we prayed for one, and then Bobby came in, and now we actually hired and have a youth leader. And in the process of that, we've now looked at that whole structure and realized that we have some needs within our Sunday school system. So we actually gathered all the people up, if you remember that. And we all went, whoever could and would, we all went over to Homewood, and we met together and we prayed together, and we had a fantastic time for those who were there. It was amazing, wasn't it? How many of you were there? How many thought it was awesome? I mean, it was great in so many ways, just for family, just feeling like family together, eating together, worshiping together. But then we would gather and talk about how can we make the Vineyard Church in Campbell River a place that our young kids so want to go to that they drag their parents to church. And that's what we started to sort of plan out. And a lot of great ideas come. Now, you can't do all of them. One great idea, because the worship team was thinking about it, is they said, we need to build a studio. I said, what's that have to do with kids? But we need to build a studio, and maybe, in some ways, I think it's probably a great idea, because we could really grab a hold of all of the musicians, all the kids and young adults and so on, and teenagers that want to become a musician, want to do recordings and so on. Wouldn't it be great if we could actually do that? And let them use our studio for free as a service. Now, that's a lot of money and a lot of building and a lot of planning. So it's probably not going to happen tomorrow, this year. Maybe it'll happen. Depends what God does. But that's still in the works. But a lot of it was centered on how can we make our kids' ministry just the best kids' ministry that we can. And that's what we tried to focus on. And a lot of the things that we're doing now, because we have a lot of just really full of energy kids, and they don't sit for their Sunday school teachers, and they're pulling their hair out. And so we're trying to create a space where they can go out, they can do a little bit of stuff, and then go out and play games and apply those games to the class and so on. And that's the stuff we're doing. And all of it is in process, and we're trying to get it done as best we can, but that's our heart. That's what is going forward at this point in time. What else can I say here? We've also, we started a new community group on Tuesdays. It's hosted at Gloria Scott's home. Bobby's leading it. And he's using some material from Andy Stanley, and we've been talking to you guys about coming out to that. I want to say this about community groups. That's a new catchword for home groups or Bible studies or whatever, in the past. But community group, because it's about building community. But I want to tell you, this church, if you want to know what this church is going to be about, it's about building authentic community. And the way I see us doing that is small group ministry, getting together. And so in September, we're gonna be trying to sort of re-push that whole thing, get into small groups. We're going to run small groups. We want you guys to be connected in them. We're going to try and make sure that they're valuable. But it's about being together and about loving one another. And as I mentioned a couple weeks ago, we're looking at two initiatives to help us reach out to the community to do authentic mission, which is this one called, it's from Share Truth, it's called The Story, and there's some training materials, and I want to train as many of you who want to learn how to share this big picture of the gospel with your neighbors. And there's great tools in this. You can get the app, you can have it right there on your phone, you can let them read it off your phone, but there's also some training about how to engage people, how to really cross over and begin to invite people into a life and community with Jesus. So that's something we're going to do. And we're also looking at this Life Tree Cafe. And the problem with Life Tree Cafe is it costs, there's a big cost to it. But it also looks to me like probably the most relevant way to engage our current culture in conversations about God. It's got these videos that I'm thinking to myself, I want to go and watch that. And the video is a short 15-minute video, and then it's a coffee house, which we are very good at. We do these coffee houses all the time, in which we can invite our friends, neighbors, people to come. And that's the one thing I wanted to say, is it won't work unless we invite our friends and neighbors and people. But we would also advertise all over, and it's free. People can come, have coffee, have a snack, get together, gather, watch a little clip, and then let them discuss. Their doubts are welcome. Alpha is way different. Alpha is way more just basic gospel, and he would preach a section of the gospel each time, a part of it, and then they would have discussion. Whereas this takes relevant topics that people are talking about today, and then really skillfully brings them around to the concept of God, that God is the answer to this problem. So anyway, I think it's a positive thing. And what I was trying to say a couple weeks ago is just simply this, is I need all of you to tell me in one sense whether we want to do that, because it will be a big commitment. And it will cost us money as a church, but we're willing to do that. If we have a group of people that are committed to running it, putting it on. So those are all the things that we're setting forward and trying to accomplish. And as well as that, and I didn't want to leave this out, is we are offering prayer ministry training this coming year, and we're developing that with some very gifted people who've all agreed that they would come and help us train our people to pray for one another and to move into healing prayer and a number of areas. So those are all these initiatives that came out of that restructuring process. And the truth is that on that, you'll look at it, there's a lot of me and Nancy and other people that are heading up things. And what we really need is to, again, get the right people to look at that and ask God, where am I to serve and who am I in the kingdom? And to step out and help us to fulfill all of these things. Now, having said all of that, when I think about all these things, and maybe you guys are feeling this as well, and I start planning them out, and I start trying to recruit people for them, I can get discouraged. I know that many of you in this church, as well as us, are already overtaxed. Your lives are full. There's all kinds of things happening in your life that may be dragging you away from more commitment to church. And you're thinking to yourself, wow, I hear all this stuff, but the last thing I need is just more work. And that is the problem. So often in the church, new programs or revitalizing old programs or reinventing our Sunday school for the third time or all of those kinds of things, you know, finding new and more relevant outreach programs, all of it will feel like just another obligation. More work, something to tire me out or burn me out, unless, church, we understand what I'm going to talk about this morning. This morning, I want us to look at what Jesus says is the primary command for the church, the one that is meant to drive everything that we do, everything that Jesus would ask us to do. And so let's look together at John 15, 10, 17, and if you would read it with me. And when the hamburger smell starts coming up from the tent out there, because for those of you, remember Nancy said we've moved the whole picnic from Miracle Beach to here, I want you to keep listening to me, even though your mind will be somewhere else. But read with me, if you would, okay? John 15, 10 to 17. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. And my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command. Love each other. Now I want us to compare for a moment this command to the other famous command found in Matthew chapter 28 called the Great Commission. I'm not going to show you that. I don't have a slide for it. In one sense, that is what we just finished our series on authentic mission. And in Matthew 28, Jesus tells us to go, and the basic words is to go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded of you. In one sense, that's what drives the structure that we just talked about and that I just showed you. It drives all of our programs. It drives our purpose for having a youth group, the Sunday school, the children's ministry. It drives the mission work that we do in India along with Grace Life Ministries. And most churches get tired trying to keep all of those balls in the air. But the real driver of all of those activities, the thing that changes everything about how we perceive ministry, is found, I'm going to tell you this morning, in this command, the command to love. To love each other. If we try and do all this stuff, and we look at it all from a task orientation perspective, organizing, recruiting, planning, and then we have this results evaluation later. If that is our primary orientation, when we are doing ministry, we will feel like it's all work. It will tire us out. It will burn us out, and we will be constantly, I think, relaunching tired ministry. But if love becomes our focus, if love becomes our motive, then the joy and the fruit of the ministry is in the doing. I want to say that again so you get it. The joy, okay, and the even the results orient that thing is not found in evaluating something later, but it's found in the doing. Do you guys understand what I'm talking about? Because if love is the goal, then as we do ministry, we are loving. We're already accomplishing it. We're not trying to figure out if it really worked later. We're realizing that actually it's in the loving that all the life lives. It's in the loving. It's in this thing that is the vision statement of our church. To know the unsurpassable love of Christ in me and for me so that I can then freely love other people, and that the love part of it is the point of it. Amen? And that's what we have to get into. And then I think all of ministry begins to shift. Something shifts in our perception of doing things in the church. But Mother Teresa of Calcutta has a lot to say. I think she's probably the expert on the role of love in ministry. And she was quite profound. She's passed away, obviously. But I'm going to use a lot of her quotes. Actually, they're all going to be quotes from her this morning to explain what I'm getting at. So the first one is slide three, is this slide from Mother Teresa. And I'll read it. You guys can read it silently up there. But this is what she says about the West, about us, about our culture. Okay? The greatest disease, she said, in the West today is not TB or leprosy. It is being unwanted, unloved, and uncared for. We can cure physical diseases with medicine, but the only cure for loneliness, despair, and hopelessness is love. There are many in the world who are dying for a piece of bread, but there are many more dying for a little love. The poverty in the West is a different kind of poverty. It is not only poverty of loneliness, but also of spirituality. There is a hunger for love as there is a hunger for God. Now what she's saying is that in the West, we may not be starving, we may have money, but we are starving in a much different way. We are lonely. We often feel unloved, uncared for. And we can see it around us. You know, so often we have neighbors who live right next to us, and we may or may not ever talk to them. We can be in a whole neighborhood of people, and there's people all around us, but we build all of our walls up to keep us all separate. And yet what the fruit of that is that we've built a culture where we can have millions of people crammed into a very small place and every one of them feeling utterly alone. And here's the other part of it. What she's getting at is that they have this inner search for love, and this inner search for love is actually our inner search for God. That we have this hunger. Every human being has been created by God with an empty void within them that only God can fill. And so, if you remember the scripture that God is love, hello? God is love, then we got to understand that our hunger for love is also what? A hunger for God. Amen. That's what it is. And so we are looking, all of us, even if we think what I really need is someone to love me, what we really want is the love of God. We need to know God, but here's the point that the church often misses, is to know God deeply is to love others. And to love each other. Because it's in that expression of love that love begins to flow and all of this empty part of us begins to be filled up. We need, and so we, the church, we have to start learning to love. And it starts right here within us. Do we love each other? Do we treat each other well? Do we care about the person who's alone in our church? Do we phone them up? Do we invite people over? Do we do things together? So, and we got to remember, God is the source and the object of love, and because, as Scripture says, He is love Himself. And so without God, there is no real love. And our society, our world, actually is desperate for love. Okay? And if we, the church, will learn to love each other, and then learn to love the world out there, that's what attracts people, according to Jesus. That's what starts to change everything. Let's look at the next verse. John 17:20-23, and read it with me. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Now here's the interesting thing. This is just, you know, down a couple of chapters from his command. And so here Jesus' command that we love one another actually becomes a prayer. Do you get that? He commands us, and then he prays that we'll actually fulfill the command that he's given us. This is how much Jesus wants us to get this. He commands, then he prays that it will be fulfilled. And here it is clear that the source of our ability to love is found in our being loved by Jesus, by being in God, and Christ is in God. He says, God is in me. We are in Christ. This Christ's Spirit, the Scripture says, is in us. It is all of it, this Trinitarian circle of perfect love that we are welcomed to join into. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit in perfect unity and love one to another. And so one of the beautiful things that we need to realize about this is that God didn't create us because he was lonely and didn't have love and now is expecting us to fulfill that. God already existed as love. That's why it says that God is love, because within him, within the three people, the persons of the Godhead, is perfect love and unity and fellowship. And what God is doing is saying to you and I this very morning, will you join me in this? If I expand this, if I open up this opportunity to love, will you come in? I'll welcome you right into this very community of love. You can be in me and I'll be in you. And you'll know my Father. And I'll tell you all the things that my Father tells me. I'll let you in on all of the things that I'm thinking and wanting to do. And all that while, there is this constant affirmation. I love you. I've made you for a purpose. You're mine. You have meaning. You have purpose in this life. You are a king or a queen. You are a priest. You're not junk. You're created in the very image of God. And so he invites us into that very thing, but he's praying for us. And I want to say something that about our love for each other that's important, why it's so critical that we treat each other well when it comes to missions, and it's this. The skeptical, the searchers, the people that we invite or wanting to invite into our community, they are looking at us. They are wanting to see how we treat one another. How will you treat me if I come into your community? They look at us because they want to know. If they love each other and I go in there, then maybe they'll love me. But if they look at us and we're backbiting and gossiping and fighting and talking about how lousy everybody is and, gee, did you see what Bill did today? And if they look at us and they say they're no different, as a matter of fact, they're almost worse than my other friends, then they won't come in. And that's why Jesus says, if you will love each other, if you will be one, then the world will know that the Father has sent me, and that I love them. Amen? Are you getting that? I mean, this is how critical this stuff is, and I'm going to tell you, I mean, we hear about it, yes, I want to love and all that, but it's not easy. There are days when we don't feel like loving each other. Why? Because we are broken, me included, although I know most of you wouldn't really know. We are broken. Now I want to read something here, this 1 Corinthians 12, because that is the scripture on love. But it's something very important to understand about this text, folks, and that is this text is all about how we do ministry together. It all comes after the text on the gifts of the Spirit and the body of Christ and how we're to work together. Now listen to it as we read through it in 1 Corinthians 12. And it's 1 Corinthians, and then there's a little bit from 13 and a little bit from 14. That's why there's the dots there. Okay, let's read it together. And now I will show you the most excellent way. This is Paul talking about how to do ministry. I want to show you the most excellent way of doing ministry together. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. And then at the very beginning of chapter 14, he says this, and we miss it. Follow the way of love. Love is a way. Now, this text in Corinthians is all about how we do ministry. I told you that. And here is the point. If the ministry we do is not empowered by love, then it's empty. It is a clanging cymbal. It becomes a sort of annoying gong. It feels dead, not only to those we minister to, but to ourselves as well. And I think that's sometimes why it just feels like we can go into these places where we're going to start this new thing and it goes great for a while and then, I'd rather stay home and watch the hockey game than go to home group tonight. I'm serious though, I'm talking to myself here. We see what it looks like. Love is what? It's patient with each other. It's kind. It's humble. It's forgiving. It's full of trust. Full of hope. Are you full of hope today? When you look at our church and the people in our church, do you feel full of hope? See, it's not a thing where you look at it and say, if they've earned it, then I'll feel full of hope. It's a decision. It's a way of doing life. It's a way of being. You choose. Each one of you choose how I will live this life. Will I be somebody who is forgiving? Will I be somebody that allows for people, that is full of trust with people, that seems to just love them and trust them? I'm full of hope. Are you easily angered with people? Do you find yourself getting angry all the time and then having to talk yourself down out of it? Are you protective of people, or would you rather just rip them apart? Do you protect people when someone else rips them apart, especially the body of Christ? Or are we so full of gossip we can look around, and I know I do it myself, but I can look around from church to church and I'm always trying to compare and talk about how good our church is or why we're better here or they're better there, and you just get into this whole thing that is not godly at all. I'm not going to tell you. I just told you it's not godly, Mike. Get thee behind me. No, I love you. I love you, buddy. Anyway, are we persevering? Do we persevere through difficult times? Do we keep a positive attitude through difficult times? That's a question we have to ask ourselves, because that's what he's saying. What Paul is saying is, if you want to know whether you're doing good in the love department, that's what it looks like. And it's a way of life. It is a path. It is a lifestyle choice that we make. It is, who do I want to be as a person? And will you change it? I'm going to look at some more Mother Teresa quotes. Let's look at it, because here I think is really the awesome things that she says about love. So let's, next slide here is, I pray that you will understand the words of Jesus to love one another as I have loved you. Ask yourself, how has he loved me? So you got to ask Jesus, how has Jesus loved me? And do I really love others in the same way? Unless this love is among us, we can kill ourselves with work, and it will only be work, not love. Do you get what she's saying? Work without love, she says, is slavery. And that's what happens sometimes, doesn't it? That's what it feels like. Here's another one. I think she just hit it right on the money. If we're doing ministry and we see it as work, it becomes slavery. But if we do it and we see it as love, then it becomes freedom. Hello? Now let's look at her next quote in the next slide. Many people mistake our work for our vocation. Our vocation is the love of Jesus. Do you know what she's saying with that? She's saying people look and say, well, she's running an orphanage, or she's running a woman's shelter, or she's running a thing for AIDS babies, and that's the work she does. She says, you're missing the whole point. Our vocation is the love of Christ in me and then flowing through me. All of this other stuff is just what comes from it. What's the next one? She says, I am not sure exactly what heaven will be like, unlike the little boy who went there. But anyway, but I know that when we die and it comes time for God to judge us, he will not ask, how many good things have you done in your life? Rather, he will ask, and I love this, how much love did you put into what you did? You get it? If you're a Sunday school teacher, your vocation is not to teach a lesson per se. Your vocation is the love of Jesus flowing to you and then through you to the children. If you're a worship leader, your vocation is not putting together an awesome set for all of us to listen to. Your vocation is the love of Jesus flowing to you and then through you to the people who are here. In this church, our vocation is not doing services. Our vocation is the love of Jesus flowing into me and then through me to all of you and each one of us as we minister. That is your vocation. That is your role. And the point is not what you did. Did my lesson go well? Did lots of people show up? Was the vibe good? Did it feel right? The real goal of your ministry is, did you love? Did you love? Let's look at another one. Mother Teresa says, do not think that love, in order to be genuine, has to be extraordinary. What we need is to love without getting tired. Be faithful in small things because it is in them that your strength lies. And then she says this, and this is something I'm going to just commission all of you to do for the rest of this day. Okay? I want to commission you to do this. Here's what she says. Let no one ever come to you without leaving better and happier. Be the living expression of God's kindness. Kindness in your face, kindness in your eyes, kindness in your smile. You wouldn't believe how often her quotes are just about, if you want to express the love of God, smile at someone. And you know how often we just don't? There are people that do. And you ever notice, like, everyone wants to hang around them. They just are like smiling all the time. And they're like, that person is a whole lot of fun. Now, I'm not that person. I'm not. I'm going to try and be that person. At work, when I worked in the mill and I was a supervisor, this one girl told me one time, she said, Barry, when you walk by me, I always think of that eagle on the Muppets. Remember the eagle on the Muppets? The bald eagle? She said, you look like you got the weight of the world on your shoulders. I thought, at first I was like, oh, that hurt. But then she said to me, but now, because we were in this group together, but she said, you're not like that at all. Because I like to crack jokes and things. She says, you're a lot of fun. But I never would have guessed that from your face when you walk along the road. And I've thought about that. I mean, it's hard for someone to tell you the truth about that. But at the same time, it's something you try to work on then. You kind of go, oh, and then you go back home and you say, actually, she's probably right. And so I started trying. And even this week, I went to pick up Nancy from Victoria, and I said to her, I was reading some of this stuff about Mother Teresa, and I said to her, we need to smile, because she was really serious and wasn't smiling, because I was a little bit late picking her up. So I said to her, we got to smile, honey. And she said, well, you can sit over in your chair and smile like an idiot if you want. So I thought to myself, well, I could start a fight right now, or I could do what Mother Teresa says. And I said, and I smiled at her. And I said, I'm going to smile like an idiot. And she started laughing. And actually, that broke all any sense. But this is the point I'm getting at. It's not a big thing. It's will we smile at each other when we walk in the door at church? It makes a difference for people. Will you say hello to someone new who's in the church, who's sitting by themselves, and you notice them over there? And instead of being afraid of imposing or any of those kinds of things, you just decide, I am a person who wants to make everyone's day better, and I'm going to smile a big smile, I'm going to introduce myself, and I'm going to say, welcome here. We noticed you today, and you matter to us. And that's love. And I'm going to tell you something. You go into the Sunday school class, and if you're going to be a teacher, you can have the best, most theologically prepared message that has all these great little whatever in them. And if those children don't sense that you love them and that they matter to you and that you notice them, it means nothing. But if you have just some coloring stuff and you tell them that Jesus loves them, but everything about your person says, I love you. You matter to me. I notice you. The kids will come climbing back. They will do whatever they can do to get into that Sunday school class. Amen? And that's what we need to do. What I want us to really get, and we'll end with this, is that love is the goal. Love is the fruit. When it says this is the fruit of the Spirit, what's fruit? It's the stuff that we produce that is the thing that the Spirit of God is meant to be working in us. And love is never a big church. It doesn't say anywhere in the Bible, the fruit of the Spirit is a massive church with tons of young people that everyone wants to go to. The fruit of the Spirit is, you know, a really kicking worship team. What does it say? The fruit of the Spirit is love, kindness, gentleness. So the fruit of the Spirit is the ultimate goal. When we measure ourselves, we ought to be measuring ourselves as, are we loving our people? Now, a loving people does then get translated into things like working hard, putting on programs, doing Sunday school, doing youth group, doing exciting, amazing things where we gather together. But the whole purpose of that gathering is that love may expand and grow. And the only way that love will expand and grow in whatever thing we do, no matter how much we do it with excellence, is if love is in me first and I bring it with me wherever I go. And that event is going to be fantastic because I'm going to that event and I'm bringing love with me. And it's not just my own love, it's the love of Jesus, and it's the love of the Trinity, it's the love of God. And everybody that comes into contact with me at that event is going to get a ton of love. That's what makes it awesome. I want to show you one last quote from Mother Teresa, and it has nothing to do with what I've been talking about, but I love it, because sometimes we do this, and it's just something to think about at the end. Never travel faster than your guardian angel can fly. I think what she's saying is, slow down. Slow down and love. Let's pray.